Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds,
and more.
reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links and side projects. I've got some reaction videos that I'm doing. Willie's got Willie Bad Movies and stuff like that. So that's where all that stuff is. Let's welcome on board the SSRLSF. He's our friend. He's the creator of the tabletop RPG Fatal Familiar. It's animator and illustrator MC Griffin. What up, dog?
Hey guys.
What up?
How's it going, everybody?
Like, you joined the Doors or something? What is this?
I figured we had kind of like a witchy topic to talk about, so I thought I'd bring a little bit of a chaotic witchy energy.
Oh, we're talking about witches of some sort?
Of some sort, yeah. You know, magicians, okay. Warlocks.
I didn't know. I don't know. I usually don't know. Sometimes I'll ask Willie on the pre-show what we're talking about, and this time I didn't. So I don't know. But I enjoy the look. It looks great.
Thank you. The sunglasses like might go on and off, you know.
That's fine.
Oh, hey, yeah. How funny. I went to like an esoteric, spooky event even. And
what does that say below Griff?
Oh, those are my pronouns. That's how you know it was especially esoteric. You had to make sure everybody could be easily identified without speaking. No presumptions, you know?
I do the future of when someone's trying to connect to the other side. I'm seeing a they.
Oh, interesting.
They're all around us.
Willie, I think
how many of them are there? Oh, just one. There's just one of them.
You just stumbled into an SNL sketch, I think. I'm pretty sure the psychic in 100 years. MC, it's been a while. You've been here a few times over the years. How into like this type of stuff that we generally talk about are you?
Well, I'm excited because I've done now the Wade and Willie
the WoW scale
twice now. And the first time I was on the Wade side, the last time I was more Wade than Wade, which
I
thought was surprising. So I'm curious. My theory is that it's just going to keep getting worse.
Oh, well, okay. The questions have changed a little bit. Some of them are the same and some of them are different. And so like we could get a drastically different result. That being said, I mean, everything I was about to ask was just lead up to the WoW scale. So we might as well jump into it.
Let's jump into it.
The WoW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
I am.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I don't believe in aliens. I don't believe they visited Earth. I don't believe they visited Earth in the last 300 years. I leave room open for the possibility that somewhere in distant space there's other life, but it's not getting here, you know?
It's not making its way here. Wow. This is extremist when it comes to this show. Everyone says the universe is so big that like whatever, but you're saying yes with the caveat that they will never come here.
The caveat that they might as well not exist. Like, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. Question number 2, ghosts.
Nah, not even a little bit.
Who hurt you, man? What happened? What happened?
This is what I find interesting about this test is that there is this
presupposition.
There's this presupposition. Thank you so much. That the Willie side is the healthy good guy side, and the Wade. You know what I mean? There's no wonder left in the universe if we don't allow for aliens and ghosts and stuff. And I think those are fun topics. I like learning about them. For example, we haven't done it yet, but I brought today's topic, which is a pretty, you know, pretty esoteric, pretty wacky idea. And I like thinking about that stuff, but I mean, we'll get into it.
And the first time you were on, we were talking about entities that you can create on on your own. And it does tie into tonight also, but
yeah, I feel there's a lot of overlap for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, but now I'm curious, because we talked about what are those things called? The things that you make up and then they exist or whatever?
Tulpas. Yeah.
Tulpas. Do you believe in that?
No.
Okay. You did when we talked about
I believe in it in such a way that someone can conceive of another personality and train their mind to sort of think interact in like an internalized dialectic. I think that if you were to like stub that person's toe or shoot them in the face, that immediately their priorities would realign and they would become, you know, one mind in a body. Like it's
okay.
I don't think you could remove that second mind surgically. You know what I mean? It's all the same.
Right.
Shit.
Right. Okay. Bigfoot.
Nah. No, he seems chill. Yeah. Like the idea, the guy, the concept. Like I don't have to believe in Bigfoot to be delighted by Bigfoot. But
you also don't have to justify your nose at all.
I know. There's Bigfoot rape stories. So
Shit. Okay. I watched the
Bigfoot's fake, so he can't feel chill. Like he's fake. He's totally fake.
Well, case in point though, how do you guys feel about dolphins?
I'm pro dolphin, I'm anti ocean. So all that stuff is not gonna happen to me, you know? Dolphins can do whatever they want in their ocean. That's fine. They're like the humans of the ocean.
Yeah, I think that they're like super intelligent. They have fun. They do devious things. They're
kind of like, I mean, that's what they have in common with aliens, obviously, is they have mysterious intelligence that we're sort of like separated from a world that we can't conceive of. It feels like very far away. You know, we make meaningful contact very little, and even though they continue to be able to communicate, you know, their communication is serious. And but they also
You were gonna ask about their rapey tendencies.
Oh, they do that too.
I thought you were gonna ask.
Like, we can appreciate dolphins and be into dolphins and be delighted by dolphins while still acknowledging that they are the monsters of the sea.
It's like those chimpanzees that land. Like jerk off with frogs. I'm like, the poor frog.
Guys, we've eliminated chimpanzees. They're not even a threat. So they can, go ahead and jerk off with a frog. We're the monsters of the land.
I learned today that dolphins, if they see a porpoise, they'll just kill it. They won't eat it or anything. It's purely just to get it out of there.
That's what we did to the homeo, what was first? What was before?
Yeah,
us?
Yeah. It's one of these.
That's us. That's
Neanderthals
we did.
That when there were like multiple races. Yeah.
And it's fine. It's fine. We won the planet. It's fine. Get over it. It's fine. We did all that. And the dolphins, they're doing their thing in the sea, and I love it.
No further introspection
cute little required. Dolphins. Cute little dolphins just doing their thing, man. So listen, just give it another 50 years. The octopi will take over.
Yeah. I'm definitely not here to cancel dolphins.
Why did you ask about them? Because you think they're alien?
Because they're like Bigfoot. Like I can be enamored with Bigfoot and still understand that Bigfoot commits crimes. The difference is the dolphins are real.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Is it perceived on this podcast specifically? Is it perceived as being mean if you're more on the skeptical Wade side of things?
Oh, mean?
No.
Well, I honestly feel like the interaction that I get from any audience member, they're definitely cool with both sides. I don't feel that anybody's like...
Where are you
like,
hearing this? Who's out there going like...
I did not hear it anywhere. It was more of the...
All right, well...
It was, what was it? It was the who names, hurt you, man. Question. The who hurt you question was like, yeah, that is interesting because I do get that sense that like,
well,
okay, you're
being
a humbug, you know?
Listen, I can explain my thoughts behind that because you sort of summed it up a little bit after that, which is like... Oh, like, yeah, it's like a whimsical world over there. And if you don't believe in that stuff, well, also because you used to at least believe in the tulpas or whatever. And it felt like to not believe that anymore would be a nudge toward like a more negative outlook on life. That's kind of what I was saying.
I believe in it in that I believe that people can do really interesting, cool stuff with creativity. Like, I think that...
No, but I'm just addressing your question of is it mean to not be...
To be a little skeptical?
Yeah, and I think the answer is no.
I feel like
I just
more
said that
skeptical
because...
guests than not. They just normally believe in the first question.
Oh, the alien one?
Yeah.
I think maybe my hesitancy for the alien stuff specifically is it seems like the kind of thing that people can like co-opt and sort of make a line with their own views like way too easily because everything's so unconfirmed. So you have so much like weird like race science, for example, based around the idea that like mankind was seeded by aliens. So you kind of take that stuff for granted, you laugh at it, then you go out into the world and find that you have to like, you know, share a work shift with somebody who thinks that like you were the offspring of an alien or something like that. Like that literally happened to a friend of mine where they had their coworker would just insist to them every day, oh yeah, you're an alien.
That seems like that's a HR thing, right? Yeah. Like you get, I don't care. That's like a religion almost. That's like calling me a sinner. Like,
yeah.
Fucking back off, dude. I don't care about you. Illuminati.
No.
And finally, the multiverse.
That's an interesting one. No, I'm going to say no. I don't believe in it. If you could prove it to me theoretically.
Haven't like, people proven it theoretically? I'm not. I don't know. And even if they have, they could say it to me and it would just sound like the teachers in Peanuts or whatever.
It does work on paper. And they are finding proof of, you know, like the weak gravitational force going through different dimensions.
I'll say this. I believe that in that concept of like, different moments sort of having multiple possible outcomes, those outcomes being like a possible, you know, timeline or whatever. But sometimes people conceive of this as like the idea of there being like infinite timelines, meaning that like anything can be happening simultaneously, including like in situations where like our physics would be different and stuff. And that part, I'm like, well, I understand that infinite is infinite, but I still know that a tree still only grows up from its root. So as long as time is still linear, it doesn't seem like reality could be infinite the way that it's like, you know, like I'm not gonna like meet any like Rick and Morty chair people. You would have to,
you know what, though?
A reality where chairs pre-exist people.
What'd you say? You said that physics wouldn't change and that trees can only grow up.
Or at least if physics did change, it wouldn't be like sliders where like dinosaurs exist, but
I think it probably changed enough in order that we could never ever cross paths with them ever, because like the science would be so much different, it would never align and allow us to like jump through there. So I'll bet physics is completely insane in all the other worlds, and you know,
yeah,
just when it comes to like the laws that we've sort of like decided that the earth lives by, you know.
Before we get off the Wade and Willie spectrum, it's really easy to have not, if you're more on a Wade end of things, it can be really, I'm going to try not to do that ever, because, you know, you don't want to ever be condescending. You don't want to ever be rude. But if you're like a hyper-rationalist, it's so easy to be condescending, because I can just be like, well, I'm concerned about physics here. You know, I'm concerned about physics in the year. Like that could be such a fucking like high roady.
Yeah. Like, well, most people don't even understand how this world works. So I don't need to think about all of them.
Yeah.
I just think, I'm like a zero or whatever, but I think it's fun to talk about this stuff and explore different ideas. So I'm never like, well, that's not true. At least I haven't been as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that sounds pretty fucking crazy, Willie, when it is. But I don't know. I think being a skeptic is not necessarily being a cynic.
Okay.
And with that being said, you are probably the same. I mean, I guess you're kind of unchartable because you just said no to everything. And so we would have to add more and more no's to see like how negative you are. So we'll just call you like a, you know, a zero or a negative one and move on. Right. Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, chaos magic. Join us as we explore the fascinating and controversial world of chaos magic, a practice that challenges traditional beliefs and opens the door to infinite possibilities. Modern magic? How it works and what it can do. Join us as we unravel the mysteries of chaos magic and its impact on our everyday lives tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
I will start with, I didn't know that chaos magic is a thing. I thought it was a video game. I thought it was like a video game thing. Like there are different types of magic. So there's different types of magic that people believe in and they have different names. And this one is chaos magic.
My understanding is that the thing that distinguishes chaos magic from most other practices of magic is divorced from pre-established iconography or traditions. Like when you're engaging in chaos magic, you are engaging in new symbols. You're creating your own kind of.
Do you create your ritual. Own, or do you just kind of mutate the ones that already existed? Like if I draw Bart Simpson, but I do it my way.
You're on the right. It would be more like, okay, it'd be more like if you wrote down a thing that you would want, right? And then you
Bart
you
Simpson.
Scrambled. Yeah. Well, more like, okay.
I want a Bart Simpson.
Okay. I want him.
Go with me on this.
I want Bart Simpson. And then you, remove some letters here and there to make it like only recognizable to you. And then you.
At imp. On mm-hmm. like that,
yeah. And then you arrange okay. those letters in a symbol that you enjoy looking at, and then you connect the dots to those different symbols. Maybe even make it look a little bit like Bart Simpson, because you can get creative with it.
This is a lot like signature shoe design, where you take your Russell Westbrook signature and you turn it into like a pattern, a vector image, like. Yeah, like logo people, like people who are really good at. I have to show you what I mean, okay? Because I didn't know these were his shoes, and I have them.
Oh, really?
Just talking about iconography, real quick. And you guys can move on, and then I'll get back with the shoes and interrupt you, and then we can talk about whatever. But you just got to see this.
Yeah. I mean, I think what Wade's describing is what would be called a sigil.
Yeah, for sure.
The only reason I know about this shit at all is because of British comic book writers and artists like Alan Moore and Grant Morrison.
What is your connection to the topic?
I think it's interesting. For one, I find the part of what repels me from things like religion and even like folklore stuff is it can be tied so much to a specific tradition, and the world that I live in feels very mutable and ever changing and kind of ever evolving. And the idea then of a kind of new tradition, because it's a pretty new thing.
Yeah, it came out in the 70s. I
what is chaos you. Magic, or yeah. is this a specific thing?
Yeah, chaos magic.
Yeah, chaos magic. Yeah, okay. In specific is a fairly new thing. Kind of,
okay,
kind of
let me just show you. Let me just show you thing, this but, real quick.
Yeah, please.
Okay, and forget that you know what it is. Okay. So you can read Jordan the right way?
But then, yeah, I see a little sigil there.
Okay, but then wait.
Oh, it gets deeper.
So because then there's this one, which is the same thing, only now it's vertical, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh.
But then those there's a little initials. Hidden. There's a hidden one.
Oh!
And so I don't know what any of this means, and I don't care.
Wow, it's power.
But then you go, because I still have the shoebox because my cat likes to sleep in it. And I didn't even notice he's got his, so this is his signature. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if they like kind of, I still don't know how that thing is an R and a W. I see the W. You know.
The bit,
I see the R, yeah.
The bit in the diamond is so close to being a sigil. If it was more kind of artistically stylized and made to be
well, it is hidden. Does that make it? Artistic?
It is hidden. It is hidden.
I'm gonna put this away.
I think those are enough.
I feel like those are initials of family members, but behind that symbol, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that there were people could have shoes that were Jordans either.
Like, you mean, like, shoes that belong to, like, is George Jordan's her thing?
Yeah, but I didn't know.
Yeah, no, Willie, that's been around for a while. There's, like, I think the Kyrie Irvings are actually Jordans. You probably just, like, have only heard of them described as one or the other, but it's just all under the Jordan brand.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, good on him for taking people under him.
So, anyway, chaos magic.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely based on occult traditions, but the occult stuff became too religious in its own right. So it's kind of like a revamp of all magic, and also tying in together new themes. Like there's definitely like a lot of consciousness and like things that are like meditation, like disconnecting from your ego, which is awesome.
Yeah. There is a psychological kind of aspect to it. And honestly, like a playful darkness. I'm sure there's militant chaos magicians out there. The world leaves, possibilities for a lot of different kinds of asshole. But near as I can tell, if you're not having fun with it a little bit, you're kind of doing it wrong. That's all about kind of putting your intentions into a thing. So in that way, it's funny because it's kind of like how you'll hear about like other sort of new age people talk about like manifestation, like, oh, I'm manifesting positive things, which I think that's bullshit. Like I find that practice to be like daily affirmations. Like I think they can be helpful in a psychological way. But when you start to think like, oh, I'm inviting the universe to bring power my way. So the reason, though, that I feel less harsh on this is because you are creating art or doing writing to do this, it requires you to sort of take action on something. I think that whether you realize you're doing it or not, and even if like, because I know that part of the belief is you have to have faith in it. I think you can also have faith in the kindness of people or faith in momentum or faith in having common experiences with other people or whatever, and still believe that when you make one of these sigils, to me, what you're doing is you're almost kind of putting your thoughts into something. You're kind of being intentional. You're not putting something in a shelf to think about later. Like if you make a sigil or you.
All right.
Make
but like hang on, because I am following you a little bit, but like, you got very advanced very quickly, and I'm wondering like what, so like draw a sigil and then like how is that, I don't know, I guess I'm just lost on the entire concept of magic.
So maybe you draw a sigil for your desire for Bart Simpson and you put it on your backpack, right? Or you draw it on a wall, or you put it somewhere where you see it. You put it somewhere where people will see it, or you put it somewhere secret where you know it's there, but you don't see it every day. Uh-huh. Like, I think the theory, the magical theory of it, the non-party pooper version of it would be that like, even if the meaning of it is obscured because you know the meaning, it gives it power. And your faith in it gives it power.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I started reading this book, Libernal and the Psychonaut, by Peter Carroll. It's from the 70s. It really is more of a handbook to jumping in to chaos magic. And I will say, first off, I am going to finish this book. I'm so excited for these concepts to be put together. I'm like, I'm definitely leaning towards being a believer in this. And I mean, right now I do.
Wait, what? So hang on. You're going to be a believer in this?
I'm
of
saying
like making up a symbol and drawing it. And then like,
well, you don't have to use sigils. That you can use. There's ritualistic things. There's
no, I know,
dream aspect.
Right. Like, explain it to me, because that's where I'm getting lost.
So I'm reading the handbook and it's just starting from scratch, being like, okay, first thing you got to do, you got to think of yourself as a scientist in this abstract realm. Get a journal and write in it every day of you practicing your magic, because in the realm of chaos magic, the only thing that matters is what you do and how it works for you. So just keeping record of everything you do. And
like coincidences.
Yeah, but also like
this. I today I did this thing and then this thing happened.
So more you're experimenting with what you want to happen, your intention, your aspirations, what you want to happen, but you're basically experimenting with having the universe react to something that you want. That's the magic of it. And
so what's wrong with that? Making up little insignias and hoping that making. So what's wrong with
hopefully
that?
Nothing. I think it sounds rad. But,
right. And then how, but you then can also definitely like MC, because you kind of like took a manifestation down a peg there in your thing. That, but this is the exact same deal. It's the exact same deal with just a different, instead of a picture of a jet ski that you put on your cork board, you like make an icon out of a jet ski and like, I don't know, spray paint it on a wall and walk by it every day.
I guess I'd rather talk about it.
You just think it's a more interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I might be showing a little bit of a kind of a bias. Like
you can have biases. I wasn't combating you on that. I was just wondering what the actual difference is, because you're just calling manifestation chaos magic. Yeah. As far as I can tell,
I get to make an art project out of it, I guess is the biggest thing.
No, I know, and that's what's fun about it, for sure.
Yeah,
I would love to do that.
some of the stuff that I was checking out, you know, it's teaching you like, okay, like they're describing their version of meditation and they're calling it magical trance. And, you know, focus on sound, mental images, try not to blink, try not to think. You're basically trying to block your thoughts so you can go deeper, and you're trying to get your mind to not block your subconscious. So magic is the science and art of causing change to occur and conform it with your will. But you can't find out what your will is when your ego is there, because ultimately, when you have ego and you have expectations, then when they don't happen, then you can crash from that. And ultimately, I think the biggest problem they had with religion was that, and Peter Carroll from this, is that religion tries to separate good and evil. Whereas this is saying, hey, we need to balance these things. They work together. You know, there's this duality that magic
accepts. Who's the guy you just... name check
Peter J. Carroll. He's one of these guys, like Aleister Crowley's in here too.
The practice does seem to be like it almost seems like the start of this came from the desire to separate magical concepts from the occult. Like there, like in a lot of ways it's as much of a negative reaction to Crowley's The World as is a positive one.
I was just going to ask about the specifics of that, because like the thing I've been thinking about since the beginning is, what are magical sigils that you are then changing by being chaos? And like, what are those derived from? Like what, like how far back do we go? And if that's a bummer, just be like, that doesn't matter or whatever. I just like, what is it all based on?
Oh, that's the thing. It's kind of removed. Like the idea that magic should be based on anything is the thing that they're sort of rebelling against, like
the chaos magics are, right?
Yeah. Where you're creating things, like in fact, the way that Graham Morrison even described it is, when you're creating a sigil or you're making a mantra or doing these sort of like rituals, when you create a sigil, you create something that looks magical or feels magical, which is funny because he's not really acknowledging when he says that there are older traditions that inform what does look or doesn't look magical. But I still like that idea. I like the kind of like don't overthink it sort of attitude about some of this stuff.
I just meant like, so witches, we're operating under the assumption that magic sigils have been passed down for hundreds of years or whatever.
Well, at least if they have been, it's been from older traditions that aren't chaos magic. Chaos magic's from like the 70s.
No, I'm simply talking about magic.
Oh, magic.
Yeah. Like, where does magic come from? Like, these people who are like witches or whatever, and they believe in all this shit. Is it pagan?
Paganism in general. There's different forms. Okay.
Happens. And like, do you take that ride though? Do you believe in any of that stuff, that witchcraft stuff?
I think it's fun. My partner practices a little bit. That's the thing.
There's so many women in LA, at least, or maybe it's an era thing. There's so many like witches or whatever, you know.
I think it can be a form of a similar sort of form of mindfulness, kind of putting your intentions in a certain.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't give a fuck. But okay, I feel like I'm finally caught up. Now, please take it away.
You know, I say this too much. I feel like we grew up with too many defined things. And this chaos can help you break away from stuff to really connect to, because I do believe that your consciousness has a power, and that this non-physical universe, when you put intention into something, I definitely believe in manifestation. And I have so many proofs in my life of things coming to fruition. But part of it is this.
So then do you have to call manifestation magic?
I think that they all, in the same way that prayer works, when you have intention.
So just different names for the same shit.
Yeah. All right. Yes. And so, but I do believe that power is there, and however the definition works for you to be able to tap into it is something worth not denying.
I mean, I way more believe in positive thinking than I do like trouble and toil. You know what I mean? Like that shit is just crazy. I have Newton stuff. Like, okay, if that's what you need, but I don't believe that it's actual magic.
The way I choose to look at it is as a form of positive thinking, as a form of getting your attention on like things you want to see improve or change.
Yeah.
That said, as a thought exercise or as a just a sheer flex of imagination. It's also just fun to imagine for a moment that you are. It's fun to play the role of a wizard. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. I got nothing wrong with this. I just feel like I was thrown in the deep end a little bit with like the definitions of what things are. And so like, God, I feel like I still am like derailing this. Let's just talk about chaos magic. And
there are definitely a lot of tools you can use. Runes, cards, sigils, divination rods, anything that can amplify your abilities.
I think you can also choose your own tools, right, Willie? Like it doesn't have to be like a specific feeling. Anything can be a divining rod.
No, this is the best because it's exactly like building a D&D character, only it's you can like choose what it is. So and it's when like, you I commit, like swords. Mine's going to be a sword.
Dude, when you commit to yourself, like I was, the thing I was reading was saying like, hey, first thing, before you get started, you should just come up with a banishing ritual in case anything, you know, that you don't like, you can just get rid of it quickly. But like was describing like, okay, you need to make a weapon for yourself, no matter what it is, you know, a defensive weapon can be the idea of a weapon. It can be something that you drew. It can be a ring. It can be just something that gives you power. So it's good to like either make it or find it or be connected.
MC, what
to
do you
it.
Got? What do you say?
It can also, it can be the clothes that you're wearing too. You know, like when you're creating these sort of, I mentioned my partner does the witchy stuff, and they had a book that was talking about like, you know, using like ideas of like fashion and glamour as sort of ways to also put like magical intention or sigils into just the stuff that you use every day.
It's
an extremely practical little book too, which was really cool. And that wasn't even explicitly chaos magic. It was more kind of sort of non-denominational, just sort of practical stuff that one.
Well, I know that if I would be like the worst character in the movie, and I would be like so on the nose. And I hate that I'm even suggesting that I would do this, but mine would be the pen. Isn't that stupid? The writer guy
inspired
the pen. No, that's so no. stupid.
Because here's the thing.
I would hate that if that wasn't a thing.
This thing was saying this.
Use a golf club.
This book was said like I'm going to get a tattoo and use that as my weapon to work with my.
Oh,
energy.
It can
I'm
be like, anything.
Cool. Yeah.
Do you have anything to have that it, gives or you can power. You lose it? Do you have to have it around? What if you lost?
No. It can be an imaginary weapon. It's just like just something that gives you power, whatever it is.
Right. But then
because of the symbolic nature, because it doesn't have to be actually a physical thing, even if it's something that you meditate on.
Use it for though? If it doesn't even exist and it's just in your head, what do you use it for?
Any kind of goal or intention that you might want to. I mean, it doesn't have to be good stuff. It could be like, you know, like.
I thought we were talking about like a an antenna.
Like I was going specific to like they were saying, listen, if you're going to get into this, it's worth it to have a weapon to defend yourself with, because it was saying like, look, power symbols have a power, and there's so many different realms in this that like if you're trying to summon entities to like work for you, or even if you create a tulpa or like have a sigil and the sigil gains consciousness, you know, it was just like to run the gambit of like, hey, just have something to protect yourself with, you know. It's just, I think ultimately so that your mind doesn't get lost in this realm, because there are a lot of like white magic is the acquisition of knowledge. Black magic is the acquisition of power. Now people have done things, bad things to like gain power. And some people do believe in evil or just other entities that you can like interact with or whatever. So ultimately it's just like, I think it's just to clear your mind of, and to have a power, knowing that you can protect yourself in things that you don't believe in or whatever, things like poltergeists. And I know that these are kind of defined from other old world occultic and religious things, but people have experiences with them. And so like, that's where I was just going off on. I'm through that. We don't need to talk about defending yourself from anything evil, but
I'm impressed that you're actually reading Liberal. I haven't cracked into Psychonaut myself yet, but it's interesting because there is a continuity to this two older kind of more like ritualistic occult forms of magic. And I feel like there is like for example, with decoupling the ideas of chaos magic from like good or bad, does feel like a desire to sort of make sense of this stuff in a more like scientific way, almost like so the kinds of tools that you would have used in more like ancient esoteric, more occult magic, like you would want like some kind of equivalent of that, but because we're inventing this thing as we're practicing it, it almost feels like novelty and creativity and imagination is just as much part of the ritual as the ritual, which is hilarious. That's a contradiction, right? Rituals are supposed to be based on a tradition. But I think that you know, as the name implies of chaos magic, I think that kind of living tradition of it is kind of part of it, right? Like this part of it isn't based on anything I've read about chaos magic, more just my own kind of like vibes-based assessment that contradiction, that kind of like leaning toward novelty and leaning toward what's personal to you is also what makes it sort of funny. And that, you know, if you're ever taking yourself too seriously, if you're ever like striving for power and want to manifest, you know, your destruction or, you know, want the tools to slay your enemies or whatever, the fact that it's sort of, you don't get to blame what you're doing on Baal or Zeus or any kind of Cthulhu, right? It's you. So at a certain point, you're kind of left with this choice. Like, you know, if I'm making my weapons, if I'm making my sigils, if I'm creating the symbols that will cover my armor, at what point you also have to go like, am I really taking myself this fucking seriously? Like, you know, and then you can kind of have more fun with it, be a bit more of a mischief maker, be more chaotic and redirect it in something more personal, because at the end of the day, you're the only thing that you're praying to in this tradition, which that's the thing I find ultimately the most interesting about it, is it's a way to do this stuff without the parts of like, this is a totally personal thing, without the parts of like religion and tradition that I find personally kind of gross.
Yeah. And I always say this too, that like what religion did was take your power away from you because they gave it to these gods. And it's like, no, prayer works whether you believe in God or not. And this is the same thing. It's your intention being actualized. I'm like, it's fucking rad.
That's fucking rad. I'd rather you guys, just so we touch on it a bit more, because again, the shit like this was my entry point into this. Have either of you guys read any Grant Morrison comics?
I don't think so. What has he done?
Like, I never read any comics.
They did a like Doom Patrol, or at least they did a more like recent kind of like have you ever seen the Doom Patrol show that's based mostly on Morrison's run? But they also did like The Invisibles. I'm blanking on like a ton of them. But
listen, if those are the big ones, then you don't have to list the little ones.
Oh, Batman! Batman.
Oh, I've heard of Batman. Yeah,
they did a bunch of Batman. They did a bunch of like Animal Man. They were sort of the one that was responsible for kind of bringing Animal Man back into the public
consciousness. Why are you talking about this guy?
Because he is a big proponent of this. They're a big proponent of this stuff. They've given like talks and written books about the role of magic in pop culture and comics. And in fact, they've described their comic book, The Invisibles, as a sort of like giga sigil or hyper sigil, a comic book that also doubles as a magical spell itself. Which is hilarious because I read Invisibles before I knew that. And I was like in college, you know, reading through this comic and I was like, this is fucking impenetrable. I don't know what's happening in this book. So when I find out later that the intention that they sort of put into it was to make it a sort of living magic spell, I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. And I feel a bit better about it going over my head.
Because it was a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, it would be like if you were reading, Bubble Bubble, Toil and Trouble.
Right.
I mean, I think it also has like genuine fans. It is a very like beautiful book, but definitely it was definitely hard to understand for sure.
It just all seems like, I mean, I can't even categorize it. This is just like, get like a motivational speaker and then make him insane. That's what this sounds like.
Yeah.
Where he's like, draw lines, put them on things.
This book was saying that like, One thing that you should tap into is just laughter, because it's so powerful. Laughter can have every emotion in it. You know, we should be able to smile inwardly at all things. And you shouldn't blame the universe for like its lack of taste. Like whatever is funny to you is what you should seek out. And you should be able to laugh in every situation. And I was like, oh, that was pretty cool, because in this realm of creating things and being creative and like, why stop yourself from, shouldn't we, you know, live life to the fullest, but like, we should be like thrill seeking stuff for our mind, you know, like
I do that, man. This just goes back to how I'm enlightened, and I've proven it over and over again on this show. And like, I already do that. I was talking to Acosta yesterday about how stressful his fantasy football league is, because they take it very seriously and they get very personal about stuff. And I was like, that sounds great to me, man. That's like therapy. Can you imagine using fantasy football to like bring up some shit that you were harboring for like 10 years? wouldn't that be a relief? I think that sounds awesome. But anyway, that's all I'm saying. Like, I'm enlightened and I do that. I laugh at everything and it's fun, and I'm the Joker now.
It's worth mentioning, Burroughs did this stuff. David Bowie did this stuff. You know, it's wild to me how kind of short this tradition is, and immediately found people that were certainly already kind of well on their way of being, already established and being exactly who they'd be famous for. And like, okay, yeah, that sounds like who I am. I'm a chaos magician, actually. Yeah. I thought I was a pop star, but no.
I mean, it's also like great marketing. Like, yeah,
yeah, I'm inherently, a chaos right?
Magician.
When you're making a sigil, you're making a logo, right?
And you're called a chaos magician. And like, who doesn't love that? Like, everybody thinks they're the wild card, but really, they're not.
Yeah. That's why I'm gonna be
this whole like label of chaos. Oh, look at me! I'm causing chaos. Like, no, you're not.
I'm gonna be a Sigma magician. That's the most elite of magicians.
That's the new most elite, right? Mm-hmm. Thanks to brain rot and stuff.
A Sigma magician is you don't gotta do nothing. you just are powerful. You know, I'm just drawing energy in. I'm gaining my power. I don't need a sigil. I don't need a wand. I don't need nothing.
I get mine from the crust of the earth.
Mm-hmm. I'm like a wolf and getting it from the moon. But not because I asked.
No, but listen, that means I'm better than you, because I get mine from the earth and you get yours from the moon. And the moon's only out like, what, 28 days out of all the 30 or something. So I'm better than you.
You actually get your power from the dirt.
Yeah.
Mine comes from the stars.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
But I was a star.
Well, that sounds like you're more on me, because I am the earth.
This is getting granular. Being very specific.
You guys let me down here, man. I'm not digging our way out. I have no idea what's going on.
It's turning into like a complicated thing of like rock, paper, scissors logic. Like, where, you know, no. Earth beats moon. The moon beats sun. Sun beats earth.
I just watched a movie where they had made up their own rock, paper, scissors, but they used monsters. It was like Frankenstein and Dracula and the mummy.
What would the mummy beat? The mummy's the lamest fucking thing in
the
world.
Well, I think the mummy beats Dracula, because how does Dracula kill something that's already dead, right?
Yeah. Isn't Frankenstein also already dead? No.
Maybe it was Wolfman. Maybe it was Wolfman instead of Frankenstein. I don't know. And now I don't even remember what that movie was. But I guess maybe I brought it up because I thought maybe you guys would know.
Let me ask you this. And sorry to out myself as somebody who has listened to every single episode of the show. But have you guys covered like similar kind of topics to this? Like, was this like an outlier episode or to me, it feels so close to being something like ley lines or, you know, cloud bursting or other sort of more sci-fi ideas of like the psychic, you know, but
yeah,
it's kind of rubbing shoulders with religion.
We've done ley lines. We've done, in the realm of like, who were the men who stare at goats were, the, you know, or like the,
yeah. You're talking about hell. Any other day, I'd know it.
It's I know, the, right? Me too.
It's one of the generals that Alex Jones always talks about wanting to about getting his information from.
Ultimately, though, like we, I, you know, I think Topaz was close.
Yeah. Yeah, but, well, yeah, because that actually is even like a religious concept. People did stuff with it that it was more like brain, you know, like psychological. But the term tulpa is ultimately a religious term.
I'm just quoting something now. Hugh Urban like described chaos magic as a union of traditional occult techniques and applied postmodernism. If you think of all the things that were rejected from before, including science, you know, by religion, it's just like, yeah, like. We should be able to look at things and see if they work on our own. In the realm of seeing is believing, write everything down and see what you can see on your own. I
mean, that is, it's not exactly the scientific method, but it's closer than just raw faith, right? The fact that Psychonaut, right. That's the book you're referencing earlier. The fact that it's even encouraging you to have a process at all, that's science. That's not, you know what I mean? That's not just pure faith. Like, you know, you don't go to church and have it be like, yeah, just see which prayers get answered, which ones don't. And you'll know,
I know
what's good and what's evil.
My grandma always had a prayer jar, and I always wanted to ask, like, okay, like, which ones came true? I, you know, I believe in prayer, but I'm like, how big is the jar of the prayers that didn't happen? And ultimately, because I think, when you make a prayer, it's so easy to just make it be something so small and personal, but you have to remember that everyone's praying for you. Everyone has the same power. So it's not that you need to try to come up with things that won't affect other people. It's just like the universe is so big that like, there's a danger in like creating something that's good for you and bad for a lot of other people.
Yeah. There is also this, I think part of the reason why this appeals to me is unlike these other sort of forms. I remember when I was younger in college, I did a paper on Santeria, and a lot of what I experienced when I went to a like Santerian practice was like talk of like good spirits and bad spirits, and the idea that you like get bad spirits on you, and that you want to ward those away, you know. You wanted to wear bright colors so that, you know, the bad spirits couldn't cling on to you, all this stuff. But other than that sort of good versus evil aspect of it, I thought it was cool how, like, sort of malleable stuff was. Like, it didn't matter what saint you worshipped, for example. Like, there was no such thing as, like, a specific, like you know, you could have, if you made a little Santerian altar, it could have Goku on it. It didn't matter. So I think the reason another part of why I like chaos magic is it's like that part of Santeria that I was like, ooh, nice. And then kind of taken to its extreme, you know, whereas the part of it, the evil spirits idea, like we have people now like that have like actual political power claiming that their enemies are literal demons, like yeah. Not human beings. And that's like not an unpopular view now. Like, you know, like people with like, audiences and influence spheres of millions of people are just like talking about getting mauled by demons. And so if I'm a chaos magician or if I believe in this stuff, it is nice to know that some idea that I have, I guess I'm saying this as a creative person. It is nice knowing that if I put an idea out there into the world and I'm truly trying to act out of novelty and what's personal, then when it comes to where those ideas come from, the buck kind of stops at me. And there's not some ancient tradition that gets sort of like, you know, verified through an appeal to tradition. Because I wouldn't want to be in a position to tell somebody who believed in demons that they're not real, you know. But I know the shit that I came up with isn't real in the same way, you know, because I'm not a god or whatever. Like, I can't create, I can't put the whammy on anybody with an ancient boogins. I can only put the whammy on them with my boogins that I made, you know, if that makes any sense. Like you're kind of more responsible for yourself, I guess. Like, there's not going to be like a coalition of traditionalist chaos magicians coming to your
Well, that's why I was so kind of like, why would you need a defensive weapon when like it's all just like existing in your head, right? I mean, like, I guess I still don't really get it.
Well, because
like, I need to make a magical fake sword that's in my head, just in case this other fake shit that I'm making up in my head kind of like turns on me.
I guess it would be if you're attacked, and feel free, Will, you've officially done more of the you are much more of a chaos magician now than I am. You've done more of the reading, but I believe it's if someone else were to attack you with their own, you know, with their own bad intentions, right? If they're going to send their bad energy, if they were going to
like a kind of like the slowest war ever, where someone just like thinks bad enough about you that like eventually something bad will happen to you. But if you made a thing, then that won't happen.
I think there is the acknowledgement of other possible realms and stuff existing. Yeah. But what were you going to say?
That's what I was going to say is that, of course,
they think that, but no, that's not what's happening. They are just thinking badly about one another.
This book was ultimately coming from the standpoint of some of the occult stuff. It's not that like you need to believe in any of it, but if you do, that's what the defense is for, you know, just like anything that comes your way. Cause it was talking about like demons, incubus, succubus, just like things from a cult realm that exist and whatever you believe in. I took it as something to defend yourself from beliefs that you have that may or may not be real. But like, as you're getting into this, you can't just wipe the slate of everything that you've ever been taught or believed in. So it's kind of like if you're afraid of something, like make a defensive weapon, just move on from it. It's like to clear your mind from stopping yourself from going forward.
It just seems like psychosis to me to be like, okay, I'm going to make some shit up in my head and like write it down over here or whatever. And then like, And then get freaked out by what that did, which is nothing. Like all it did was change you. But your subconscious might create something.
Yeah,
exactly. Within your own brain. And so like it's all just like you're trying to manifest schizophrenia.
I knew a guy who claimed to be an atheist and then one day like broke down, you know, in front of his loved ones about his fear of hell. Like, I think that some things are so culturally ingrained, and I don't even necessarily mean religious beliefs. It can be really kind of the belief in anything, like not totally logical or not totally based in reality. And I mean that to be like a neutral connotation. I'm afraid of shit that's unreasonable all the time. You know, I might need a sigil to protect myself.
Right, right. Go on, though.
You know. Like, you know, we just had an election, you know, and I don't have very much control over what happened in that election. I feel very powerless. It would be nice to have something, even if it's just faith-based.
But do you understand my point, which is you would never need a defense to any of this stuff until you started doing it. And so
it's like this weird self-fulfilling prophecy of like,
okay, I guess I'm gonna like do sigils now or whatever. Oh no, now that everything that's wrong in my life, I can blame it on like an evil magic or something. And now I'll do more sigils. And it's like, it just feels very.
This thing was like trying to, my interpretation is to try to get you to move past anything to hold you back in that realm. Cause I think it's saying like, nothing is real. So how do you decide what's real? So like what it did for me was gave me a positive weapon that I can use. And I'm so excited for it for just all the bullshit, for just any bullshit that's stuck in my head. I no longer need to worry about.
But wait, the asshole that you just imagined there, that asshole does exist. They are on TikTok and they do have a subscription service that you can give money to. You're definitely right that there is a type of person that uses this kind of stuff. I'm not talking chaos magic. I'm talking about magic in general and anything, any kind of faith-based thing. Like people will kind of use the insulating nature of these things to grift a type of person who will sort of create their own kind of anxiety field, you know?
That's fine. I mean, if they're taking money from stupid people, that's fine. I don't relate to stupid people because I'm super smart. Yeah. Right. All I'm saying is if it feels very, dude, I don't know. It seems kind of dangerous for people who do have sort of like mental illness to like take this stuff up. And then it's so easy to convince yourself that it's happening.
Yeah. We had a similar conversation about tulpas too.
Oh, did we? Shit. Am I just the same fucking guy every episode? Sorry.
I mean, that's the show, right? You need like a radical format change for growth to occur.
But don't you see what I'm saying? Where like, if you're just even on the edge of like some mental breakdown or whatever, and you start doing this stuff, and then it's the self-fulfilling prophecy of like, oh, well, that happened because I opened up this door. And now the only way to close that door is to like open up a million more. And you just spiral into this like homeless fucking schizophrenic.
But everything, you know, everything I mean? You're saying to me sounds like occult magic. And like, this is, yeah. This is like, it's almost like if you're afraid of somebody meditating.
But to your point, you can do that with anything. Like you could take any topic this podcast ever tackled. And come up with a way to sort of spiral out with it.
Right? I mean, I guess you could. I've done it for 10 years and I've never made this point, but sure. I just think like I don't know.
Right. Cause when we get into these more sort of like, because it's wishy-washy. It's not as, you know, concrete. Like I can imagine touching a Bigfoot.
Maybe I'm not articulating my point correctly. I think you are.
I think that you're right in a way that it can be dangerous for a type of like kind of like unmedicated person who might be themselves prone to a sort of delusion. But that same person on a good mental health day would find the same benefit from it that anyone who was like religious would.
That's what I was going to say. Religion's more dangerous than this because you, all of a sudden you're the hand of God.
But we don't need to compare. You're describing the exact same
thing there, though. Of course. Like,
and there are a bunch of schizophrenics out there going like Jesus, talking to Jesus all the time. So yeah. That's not like better.
But there is not an ideology here getting too specific about, it's really just about like taking control of how you accept the world instead.
I think that's the difference. I think the difference is that the people who want you to, the bad actors, I mean, in those other places, they want you to have that delusional breakdown.
I don't know.
They want you to give them $8 a month of, or whatever for their special kind of bead or something. There is a sort of unobtrusiveness to this one because it's so personal. But I think, yeah, I mean, I think the same, actually quoting Dracula from Symphony of the Night, but the same can be said of all religion. What is a man?
And how's this different than religion? I mean, it's all the same shit. It's like making something up to make a miserable sense of the world.
A miserable little pile of secrets, no matter, have at you.
Is that? That's what are you quoting?
A video game.
Your video game?
No, a video game. It's a.
Listen, don't even say it because now's the perfect time to talk about your video game and where people can get it.
Oh, it's not a video game yet.
It's not a video game. Fuck. I just, the word game, I always think of video game. It's a tabletop RPG. We played a version of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did a bonus episode at the stage where we.
Yeah. What was it? Your character. Oh man, why don't you have like the ability to like, obliterate anything you touch or something like that? It was like,
well, see, this is hard because we've talked about so many games with you, like, because we talked to you about our RPG video game where we had different powers, and I don't even remember what mine were for that either.
Yeah, we brainstormed a real life sci-fi video game where you guys were.
Wait, was Aaron on the stage with
Aaron,
us?
Aaron was on the test play when we did the next test one. Game. Yeah, I said test game when it was really cool. It was the first time.
Wait, but whatever. We need to point people to your store here. We don't need to rehash this.
Fatal Familiar. if you search Fatal Familiar tabletop role-playing game on Amazon. You'll find hard copies. If you go to my itch.io, you'll find the digital version, which is much cheaper, by the way, you know, because it's just a PDF.
Does that mean you don't need like pieces and stuff?
You play it with
It's D&D. Wait, yeah. But what are those called? That must be called something.
A tabletop role-playing game.
That's what it's called?
Mm-hmm. TTRPGs.
Well, then what do you call like that really intricate like tile game that people love?
You're actually, that's over my head.
Not Catan, right? What are you talking
about? Yeah, so there's a Catan. What would you call that?
That's just a board game? Yeah, it's a board game.
Even though it's so much more than a board game. Like, I think of Mousetrap as a board game.
Yeah.
And Snakes and Ladders. Like, I lost because the dice didn't
Wait, do you say me. Snakes? I say shoots.
I've always had both versions.
Snakes and Ladders, I thought was a parody reference in, I think, a Steven Universe episode. Shoots and Ladders
I definitely have a snake one where you go down the
snake.
Really?
Yeah. No, Snakes and Ladders is a real thing because like you fall down the snakes.
That's funny. Shoots. I got the shoots version.
I had the shoots version too. And it can't be regional though, because Willie and I are from the same region.
What's funny about the snake thing.
We got to wrap it up. We can't talk about fucking Snakes and Ladders, man. We can't.
Shoots and Ladders is intuitive. You go down a chute, you go up a ladder. What are you?
I don't know what a chute is. As a 5-year-old, I don't know what a chute is. What's a chute? You mean a slide?
Yeah.
Why don't you call it slides and ladders then?
There you go. We fixed it. it's at mcgriffin.itch.io. But if you just Google Fatal Familiar, the digital version comes up first. But it is on Amazon. There is a physical version. Eventually I'm going to put out, if you get digitally, you can download, card sets, and if you want to print out cards with, physical cards. And I don't know when it's coming out, but there is an expansion coming out eventually that's free for anyone who purchased the main game. And it's called the Confrendium, and it features, creatures, tulpas, submitted by friends, people I've worked with, and Willie and Wade both have a creature in the Confrendium.
Yes. What's mine called?
Did I ever show you? Yours is a, I'll tell you right now. Yours is a talking butt.
A talking butt?
Yeah. Oh. That was what you pitched me.
Did I really?
Yeah. Yeah, his name's like Hamburger or something.
Oh, Hamburger Whiplash?
Hamburger Whiplash, yeah.
Well, that's because I did a thing for a different thing. What was that for? Anyway, I love it.
Not that we have to fucking air that out. Here, just because we're talking about it, maybe someone might want to see it. I'll drop it in the chat right now.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I ever saw the art.
Yeah, there you go. No better time or place, right?
Does he have balls?
Yeah, he's got little balls back there. I didn't want to deny him. It felt wrong.
Yeah. Awesome, what is baby. He, a frog? Is he a frog?
Frog.
Oh, it's cheese frog. Duh. Of course.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Hamburger Whiplash and cheese frog.
Yeah, man. Fucking doing it right.
Hell yeah. And that'll be fun. That'll be an additional 50-plus creatures in that little collection. I've got expansions in the
well, you know, yeah. So in one of the expansions, you got to make Hamburger Whiplash and Cheese Frog like the mayors of some town, and they have a dark secret, and maybe Cheese Frog is more into the occult, and maybe Hamburger Whiplash is like, dude, I don't know what's going on with Cheese Frog. It feels really weird what he's doing. And then you have to get it. It's sigils and shit. And you gotta come up. You have to pick at the end of the day, like, who do you like? You like Cheese Frog or you like Hamburger Whiplash? Because I think that what Cheese Frog is doing is irresponsible.
This is good. I can even create a sigil or work with Willie to create a sigil that looks like Swiss cheese.
Hell yeah.
Connected like an
Like an abstract Swiss cheese. Like, what would that be? Because Swiss cheese is already abstract, you know?
Yeah. We'll work on it. And a lot of people that I'm sure there's a lot of like overlap between the guests that you guys have on and who else is submitted. ones. I just showed Demorge his just recently.
List a few other people. I mean, you're marketing right now. Like who else? Demorge, we love him.
Demorge, we got. A personal favorite. I got to collaborate with another video game guy, Chad Quant.
The last thing I have to say about Chaos Magic is I in the realm of parallel universe, multiverse, whatever, I like the idea that these options, these different possibilities, these other realms are just our consciousness having options and jumping into the one that's good for you. It needs your intention and it needs you have to define your goals and aspirations. So anything that makes you be active in thinking about your life, I think, is great. So I'm into it. I can't wait to finish this book and start getting chaotic.
It's not chaotic. It's stupid. It's another version of self-help, only with the new version of the occult, a sanitized occult. Like they sell this at Starbucks, right? So anyway, go ahead, draw your sigils and think better about your intentions. But we all know that the only thing you want is money. Thanks for listening. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.